Dr. William Luther Pierce, 1999. Hypocrisy, Democracy.
Hello. During the past week, I was very interested in some of the public reactions to Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura's comments in a Playboy magazine interview. Governor Ventura, who was a professional wrestler before he became governor, told Playboy that, quote, organized religion is a sham and a crutch for weak-minded people, end quote. Pretty hard to argue with that, if he's talking about the mainstream churches in America today. But of course, the Republican politicians jumped at the chance to denounce Ventura and express their pious outrage at his honesty. The Republicans were indecently eager to garner a few votes from the weak-minded. Senate Majority Leader Trent Lott was one of the most outraged. I saw him on television with his jowls quivering and his eyes flashing as he lambasted Jesse Ventura for heresy and sucked up to the television evangelists and the bishops and the reverends and their weak-minded flocks. Lott's performance reminded me that hypocrisy and mendacity are the distinguishing characteristics of politicians, priests, bureaucrats, media spokesmen, and other public figures in this age of mass democracy. This moral posturing and lying on the part of public figures are more than private moral failings, unfortunately. They are failings of our system of government, of our civilization, and of a growing number of our institutions. And these failings threaten our liberty and even our survival. I'll give you another very recent example of this basic crookedness which has permeated our public life. This is something which happened last week in Canada, which is suffering from the same problem we have in the United States. On Monday of last week, that was September 27th, the mayor of the city of Fredericton in the province of New Brunswick proclaimed a holiday on behalf of European Heritage Week. It was in response to a request from some Canadians who thought it would be nice for Canadians of European ancestry to celebrate their heritage. Well, the mayor of Fredericton, Walter Brown, had no sooner made the announcement of European Heritage Week than the Jews fell on him like a ton of bricks. The Canadian Jewish Congress told Mayor Brown that they were outraged by his proclamation, much as Senator Trent Lott was outraged by Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura's comment about the state of organized religion in America. The Canadian Jewish Congress's Tom Kuttner told the news media, and I quote, "The European Heritage Celebration is just a code word for white supremacists," end of quote. As the intensity and shrillness of complaints from the Jews rose, Mayor Brown wilted. On Wednesday of last week, he gave up and withdrew his proclamation. The Jews then bragged that they had succeeded in killing similar proclamations in three other Canadian cities, namely Victoria, London, and Halifax. What makes the case of Fredericton especially noteworthy is that last year Mayor Brown initially refused to proclaim a gay pride weekend when requested to do so by a homosexual group. The Jews intervened in that case also. They took the mayor to court and obtained a court order requiring him to proclaim the gay pride weekend. They were denouncing him as a bigot for his initial refusal to make the gay pride weekend proclamation requested by the homosexuals. But when the mayor did make the proclamation of a European Heritage Week last week, the Jews were all over him again, denouncing him as a Nazi and a white supremacist. And so, once again, the mayor caved in. Pretty soon, the Jews will have him trained so that he knows without having to be told which celebrations are politically correct and which are not. If Mayor Brown had any backbone at all, he would proclaim a day for ridding Fredericton of the Jewish pestilence. But of course, we don't have elected officials with backbone these days, either in Canada or the United States. Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura comes closer to having backbone than any other elected official who has come to my attention recently, but I have a strong suspicion that even Governor Ventura already knows which groups he really cannot afford to offend. Can you imagine the nonstop outrage from all of the politicians and media spokesmen if in his Playboy interview he had said something critical of Jews instead of Christians? If instead of saying that people who are affiliated with Christian churches are weak-minded, he had said that Jews are liars and thieves? Well, I'm sure you can imagine how much louder the pretended outrage against them would have been. I'll give you a few more recent examples. One of these examples is from Boulder, Colorado, where I was a graduate student back in the 1960s. I spent 5 years there at the University of Colorado earning a doctorate. It was a nice university town back then, 35 years ago, a white town, a nice place to live and to study. No gangs, virtually no Asians or blacks or other non-whites, almost no crime. 6 weeks ago, early on the morning of August 29th, a young white woman, a student at the University of Colorado, was walking outside the campus. A van containing 6 Vietnamese and Chinese immigrants, members of a gang called Asian Crips, pulled alongside her. The Asian gang members grabbed the white student, forced her into the van, tore off her clothes, and began raping her. She managed to break free and ran naked down the street. One of the Asians ran after her, tackled her, and dragged her back to the van. All of the Asians continued raping and sodomizing the white girl while screaming racial epithets at her. The girl lived through the ordeal, and Boulder police later found the van and arrested the Asians. One of them confessed to the police that they had been looking specifically for a white girl to rape. They wanted to have sex with a white woman, he told the police. Well, that was, as I said, 6 weeks ago. The gang rape and the subsequent arrests and confession were reported in the Boulder newspaper and even in nearby Denver's Rocky Mountain News. Unless you live in the immediate vicinity of Boulder and Denver, though, I'll bet this is the first you've heard of it. And that is despite the fact that this abduction and gang rape clearly fall into that new category of crime that was invented by the Jewish media and that Jewish organizations have been pushing so hard to have new laws enacted against, so-called hate crime. Whenever a hate crime comes along which serves their purpose, 2 heterosexual white males beat a homosexual to death after he tries to pick them up in a bar in Laramie, Wyoming. 3 heterosexual white males drag a black ex-convict to death behind their truck in Jasper, Texas. A heterosexual white male, Benjamin Smith, kills a Korean and a black in drive-by shootings near Chicago. A heterosexual white male, Buford Thurl, shoots up a Jewish community center in Los Angeles. Whenever something like that happens, it is publicized without let-up for weeks until everyone has gotten the message. Heterosexual white males are hateful and dangerous, and we need laws against them. Otherwise, they will commit even more hate crimes. But when a bunch of Asians deliberately hunt down, abduct, and viciously gang rape a white university student because she is white, the media bosses don't even report the news outside the immediate area where the crime occurred. Now, I've commented on this sort of blatantly biased news coverage of so-called hate crimes on several previous programs, just to show everyone that the Jewish media bosses do in fact deliberately manipulate public opinion to serve their own anti-American and anti-white agenda. Today, I just want to point out that every prominent politician understands this. It's not because they're stupid or ill-informed that they say nothing about it and do nothing about it. It's because they're lying hypocrites who should be hanged alongside the media Jews and their collaborators. Did you hear any politician expressing outrage over the gang rape of the white student at the University of Colorado? Even one saying anything about this vicious hate crime? You certainly heard plenty of them expressing their outrage over the beating death of the homosexual in Laramie. You heard even more of them posturing and fulminating over the dragging of the black in Jasper and the wounding of Jews at the Jewish Community Center in Los Angeles. As I said a minute ago, when I was a graduate student in Boulder 35 years ago, there were no Asian gangs there. It was a quiet, safe, peaceful university town. Now the leader of the Asians who gang raped the white student there brags that his gang, the Asian Crips, has 75 members in Boulder alone, and the girl is terrified about having to testify against them in court. How did that happen to Boulder? I'll tell you. First, the media Jews set the ideological stage, and then the politicians played their role. The Jews promoted the idea that there really is no difference between us and Asian boat people, that we ought to let them into our country, and that anyone who says otherwise is a racist and a bigot. The Jews have promoted this idea of racial equality and their policy of open borders with all of their mass media, and they have made acceptance of these things necessary for political correctness. So, what are the politicians to do? Shall our elected leaders actually stand up for us and defy the Jews and say, "No, we won't accept any boat people. Send them back now. We intend to keep our community white and decent." Shall they say that and be attacked viciously by the Jews as racists and bigots? Or shall they go along with the Jews, proclaim their belief in racial equality and their agreement with the policy of open borders, and welcome the boat people into our country? Shall they fall all over each other, scrambling to see who can give the biggest welcome to the boat people and get the biggest media support in the next election? Well, we all know the answer to that, don't we? Of course, I have oversimplified the issue here, as I usually do. In fact, the process which led Boulder from the peaceful university town I lived in 35 years ago to the gang-ridden slice of multicultural America it has become today is a much more complex process than the one I described. But the essential fact underlying this process is that our elected leaders did not stand up for us. They did not speak out against policies they knew or should have known would destroy us. Instead, they let themselves be trained by the Jewish media bosses just the way the mayor of Fredericton in Canada is being trained. When I saw this process in its early stages back in the 1960s, I began speaking out. I left my position as a university professor and began spending all of my time trying to alert the public to what I saw coming. But the politicians just kept on posturing and lying. And now Boulder and the rest of America have become what they are. Yes, the process has been complex, with the churches and many businessmen and the feminists and the homosexuals and others collaborating with the Jews in promoting destructive policies, and with some of the politicians behaving worse than others. But none of them stood up for America or for our people. None of them defied the Jews. I'll give you another example of what this dereliction of duty, really this treason on the part of our elected leaders, has done to America. This is another university example. 2 weeks ago, there was news in some of the Nevada newspapers about the trial of a Polynesian immigrant from the South Pacific Tonga Islands who had deliberately hacked a white police sergeant to death with a hatchet on the Reno campus of the University of Nevada because he had an urge to kill a white policeman. As I said, this news was in a few newspapers in Nevada when the murder trial began 2 weeks ago, but it was ignored by the media everywhere else. I'll read you a few of the details from the Reno Gazette Journal of September 24th. In the days prior to the killing, the murderer, 29-year-old Cialci Benici, told several of his friends and relatives that he intended to kill a white police officer. He hated white people generally and white policemen especially, he told them. White people had taken many things away from Polynesians, and he intended to start taking things back, he said. He intended to start killing white people. Then he went with another Tongan to a Reno department store and bought himself a hatchet for $7. 2 days later, he spotted University of Nevada Police Sergeant George Sullivan in a parking lot on the Reno campus and attacked the white policeman with his hatchet. He struck Sullivan more than 20 times on the head and face with the hatchet, killing and horribly mutilating him. Then he took Sullivan's service pistol and held up two Reno convenience stores. Then he bragged to his Tongan friends and relatives about what he had done. Well, if there ever has been any such thing as a hate crime, the vicious murder of police officer George Sullivan was it. But of course, you didn't hear any weeping and wailing about it on television. You didn't see Janet Reno or Bill Clinton or any other politician or bureaucrat talking about it and calling for new hatchet control laws or citing the murder as an example of hate crime. And of course, you understand why that is so. The real question is, why do you tolerate it? The politicians won't stand up and ask why America is overrun with Asian gangs and murderous Tongans because they really don't care. They won't ask us why we keep our borders open and allow more and more non-whites to flood into our country because that would be a politically incorrect question. They will express public outrage whenever any heterosexual white male commits a crime against a homosexual or a non-white. But they wouldn't think of complaining about the gang rape of a white woman by Asians or the murder of a white man by a white-hating Polynesian. Do you think I'm wrong on that? Do you think I'm being too hard on our elected officials? Do you think I'm condemning them unjustly? Is there an honest one somewhere that I haven't heard about? What about Pat Buchanan, you ask? Well, of course, Pat Buchanan isn't an elected official yet. Judging by the almost unbelievably vicious and hateful attacks on him in the controlled media recently, the Jews are determined that he never will be an elected official. He made one or two less than worshipful comments about the Jews in the past, and then refused to apologize and grovel. And so they are going all out to make him seem dangerous and hateful. In his recently published book, A Republic, Not an Empire, Buchanan points out that America could have and should have stayed out of two world wars in this century, that neither of these wars was necessary to defend America, and neither served American interests. Such statements send the Jews into a spitting, shrieking frenzy of hatred and vilification. Oy vey! Who cares about America's interests? If America had stayed out of the First World War, we Jews never would have been able to seize control of Russia and murder 60 million Europeans. And if America had stayed out of the Second World War, Hitler would have thrown us all out of Europe. Oy vey! So the Jews see Buchanan as a dangerous anti-Semite for putting America's interests ahead of theirs, and they treat him accordingly in their media, and so do the politicians. Now listen, I'm really not a Buchanan supporter. He is far too soft on race and on the Jews. But the way the Jews hate and vilify him is a clue as to why all the rest of the politicians are nothing but liars, hypocrites, and traitors. Men who never stand up for our interests. Here's the way it works. Democracy is about winning elections. No one wins an election in America above the county level if the Jews are determined that he should lose. With their control of television, they can destroy any candidate. Politicians understand that, and being practical, self-interested people, they don't buck the Jews. That's why you see them behaving the way they do. That's why you see them now putting on hypocritical displays of outrage over Pat Buchanan's comments, for example. It's an opportunity for them to demonstrate their political correctness, an opportunity for them to prove that they have learned what the mayor of Fredericton is learning, an opportunity to prove their loyalty to the people who give them good press. So now we hear them pretending to be indignant that Buchanan is making chumps out of the Americans who fought in the Second World War. He's calling those who fought suckers, they say, and that's unpatriotic, and so we ought to shun him. Never mind that that's not really what Buchanan said. Buchanan pointed out that Roosevelt, by giving secret assurances to Churchill that America would back him in a war against Germany, led us into a war which not only was unnecessary, but which cost us 300,000 killed, cost the Germans millions killed and millions more raped by our gallant communist allies, cost the lives of millions of other Europeans, and delivered half of Europe to communist rule for 50 years. Never mind all that. Roosevelt kept Hitler from sending all the Jews packing, and that's all that the people who give the politicians good press care about. Historical truth matters no more to these politicians than political truth. Their habit is to posture and lie about anything, anytime, if they believe it will help them win elections. That's the way democracy works. It's a system which encourages hypocrisy and lying, which virtually guarantees it, whether Jews are involved or not. And when Jews are involved, when Jews control the process, then we get what we have in America today, open borders and a continuing flood of non-whites into America, darkening our cities, darkening our schools, raping our women, killing our men, degrading our culture, destroying our civilization, with no elected official willing to stand up and speak out against it. So at least, let you and I, stand up and speak out. Thanks for being with me again today.